Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up, all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up, all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, just you and me.
Good evening. Assalamu alaikum. This is Samia Safir Muhammad, and welcome to Mother's Milk. Before I get started into what I was going to deal with on the show this week as a subject matter, I want to pay tribute to the phenomenal Toni Morrison, who passed away last week. If you don't know, if you've not read, if you've not been a part, made her a part of your life, it's not too late to do so. Toni Morrison, at the age of, in her 40s, wrote her first book. So those of you who may be older and like, what should I do? I don't know. It's never too late to go and pursue your dream. Her first book was, that she wrote was the first book that many of us read by her or read that really kind of rocked us to our core because she got us. She understood the struggle of little black girls growing up in a society that hated us just because our skin was from caramel to charcoal. It didn't matter whether your hair was silky straight, nappy, or whatever. Black girls were not appreciated in this society. And the name of the book is The Bluest Eye. If you've not read it, find it, sit down, read it. If you have teenage daughters, read it with them. It was a phenomena that all of us who grew up in the 40s and the 50s and turned into young women in the 60s all went through, where as little girls we wanted to be Shirley Temple or Darla on the Little Rascals, because there was no female black woman who was being honored. We were always the maids and the mammies and the this and the that. And it wasn't until Julia debuted on television, where Diane Carroll played a nurse, that we got to see somebody that wasn't in somebody's kitchen. And it began to change our perspective on who we were. So if you haven't read The Bluest Eye, read it. Her books from there was Zula, Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon is a book she wrote about men, our men and their struggles. And she said she had a hard time figuring out how she, a female, was going to write this book about black men. Well, it was a phenomenal book, to the extent that one of my sons called me and he said, "Mommy, what is it about this book that I cannot put it down?" Song of Solomon. Tar Baby, then she wrote Beloved. Beloved became such a phenomenal book that she won a Pulitzer Prize for Beloved. But when I got a chance to hear an interview that she did about why she wrote Beloved, it was because she read a story about a black woman named Margaret who killed her children to keep them from having to go back to slavery. And that is Beloved's story. She mentioned during that interview that as she began to research what slavery was really about, not the story that we heard growing up about the happy slaves, you know, playing their banjos under magnolia trees and all of that craziness. She started looking into the devices that were used to break us down and try to make us no longer be human. She talked about this bit that got put into the mouth that would not allow you to close your mouth, and you could not talk. The whole idea was to suppress your tongue so that you could not protest your treatment, and it made your mouth stay open, and you ended up drooling all over yourself, but you couldn't close your mouth, but your tongue couldn't move. So this was one of the devices that these devious, wicked people designed to stop us from protesting. So let's fast forward to Colin Kaepernick. He cannot protest the treatment that we receive. So you punish him by taking away his livelihood, so you thought. Okay, so it hasn't changed. That's the main thing we need to take away from what Ms. Morrison has written about. But Beloved, she said in researching Beloved, she realized that the transatlantic voyage from Africa to here was so horrendous. It was so horrific. It was so horrible that our people did not want to remember it. There was no song. There was no poem. There was no story told. Nobody wanted to remember it. That's how bad it was. So when we start reacting in today's time, we cannot act like none of that happened, because it has all affected our relationships with one another. Her other book after Beloved was Jazz, and then Paradise, and then Love, and then A Mercy, and Home, and God Help the Child. And then she had nonfiction books. Now, if you want to be a writer, you think you can write and you want to write a book and you want to write poems and you want to write, period, there's three books you must have in your library: Playing in the Dark, Whiteness and the Literary Imagination, and The Origin of Others. Then she, just before she passed, there was a book published of her essays, some of her essays, speeches, and meditations, and it was called The Source of Self-Regard. My daughter gifted me with this book maybe about 2 months before Ms. Morrison passed away. She will be missed, we need to make sure we keep her legacy alive by reading and taking into ourselves as much of what she spoke about and warned us of. She did a speech at a Howard University convocation, I think it was in the 80s, and she talked about what we're looking at right now in the White House. She talked about this fascism that was coming, and sure enough, it's here. So when we have prophets and prophetesses among us, we need to pay attention, okay? So read Ms. Morrison's book and share them with your children and share them with each other. So I pay my tribute to Ms. Toni Morrison, my favorite author. The thing I wanted to talk about today was milk, mother's milk. The brother who is the producer of the show gave me this name as this show, and I kind of wondered for a while, that's interesting. Okay. I began to understand a little bit more about how important that title was when I began to look at this show. It's called Resurrection Et Terrell, and it's you can catch it on YouTube and Netflix. And it's about how Turkey went from excuse me, how the Turkish tribes went from being scattered nomadic tribes into an empire. And the man whose son actually brought the empire into being, it's his story, and it's how his faith and his willingness not to get off the path of what was right and just in all his dealings, no matter how many enemies came against him and plots and all of this, how he just refused to not follow the path of God. And because of his unwillingness to leave that straight path, his strength overcame all these obstacles. So in looking at this show, I was two things stuck out in my mind. One of them was dealing with pregnancy and how their society viewed a woman's pregnancy. Each time when the men were told that their wives were pregnant, they went to hooping and hollering and just thanking the God, yes, we're having a child. Not the way that we usually react here in America, especially those of the descendants of the slaves that we are. We like, oh, God, here come another burden, you know. Some of the sisters, you know, our thing is like, oh, geez, I'm pregnant again, you know, whereas their reaction was totally different because even though they were struggling and having to move from place to place because they were constantly being attacked by different forces, the birth of a child was honored. And the women, one of the mothers was talking to her son, who at that time may have been 5 or 6, and she said to him, I carried you under my heart. And I stopped and I thought about that. I said, whoa, that's a very different concept. That's a very different way of looking at what we do, because we talk of the child being in the womb, but as that child grows and expands and begins to move about, that child is sitting right up under your heart listening to your heartbeat. And it's a whole different, it gives you a whole different view and a whole different concept. So getting to the name of the show, Mother's Milk, one of the children in the show did something, one of the young men, and the retort to that child, to that person, was, you have disgraced your mother's milk. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Wow, okay. So they understood that the connection between the mother and the child and the milk that is passed from the mother to the child is that precious that you don't have the right to do anything that disgraces that exchange. So I just wanted to bring that to y'all. And then a couple of days after that revelation, I came across an article, and I'm going to share it because it talks about why you need to keep breastfeeding your child for reasons. Many of us start out with the idea we're going to breastfeed, and the moment we hit a bump, we stop. The moment we realize, oh, my God, I'm going to be up at night. Look, people, let's understand something. That child comes this way one time, and it grows up. The time that you are blessed to spend with that baby and that bond, appreciate it, cherish it, because it's not coming back again, not with that child. So those of you who are trying to breastfeed and are having a problem, there are places you can go to get advice. You can reach out to me at this show, and I will begin to answer your questions. But the main thing is, don't give up. Nurse your baby. Don't let somebody make you feel that, oh, you're nursing your baby too long because you nursed your baby for 2 years. That's what our Quran suggests, that the baby be nursed for 2 years. And as they get older, they don't nurse that often. They nurse to go to sleep. They nurse for the comfort. They nurse to hear that heartbeat that they missed from coming out into the world. So let me give you some of the latest, quote-unquote, research on breast milk. When I was first nursing my son, my very first son, I was the only one on the whole ward where there was about 16 babies that were born that weekend. He was the only one being nursed. He was being nursed because Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us to breastfeed the babies. So the doctors told me that there was no iron in breast milk, so you must give him supplemental iron. Okay, so I come home, it's my first child, and I give this boy iron for like 2 days. And when he has his bowel movement, this black stuff comes out of him, and I cannot wipe it off his legs without rubbing and scrubbing. I'm like, wait, something wrong with this picture. So I stopped giving it to him. A couple of years later, by this time I got two children, and there's an article in of all places, Consumer Reports, and it's talking about breast milk. And it found out that the scientists were looking in the wrong part of the milk for the iron. That's why they didn't think there was any in there. And when they discovered the iron, they found out not only did the breast milk have iron, it had iron that was 100% absorbable by the baby's body, whereas the supplemental iron that they were prescribing to young children was only 50% absorbable. So then, and also that the protein that was in the mother's milk was to enhance the brain, whereas the protein that's in the cow's milk is to put fat on the cow, okay? So recently they have come up with some research. This is the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta came up with this, compiled this, and it says from 4 to 12 months, it said, let's be honest, whoever said breastfeeding was easy was probably lying to you. Moms everywhere confess it's really hard work, but here's the good news. Breast milk is one of the best things you can give your child in the first year of life, and even longer if possible. It's loaded with nutrients and easier to digest than formula. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever tasted formula that they put out for these babies. It tastes like cardboard. And why would you give that to your baby? And there's a whole paragraph of stuff that you can't even read, don't know what it is, and you're giving this to your child. Think about it, okay? So it says it's loaded with nutrients and easier to digest than formula. It's gentler on the pocketbook, too. In addition, your baby can reap the benefits of breast milk well into childhood, and there's great news because, and that's great news because a child's eating habits are hardwired by the age of three. So here are four more remarkable benefits of breastfeeding. Number one, you and your babies, you are your baby's first pharmacy. Breastfeeding can help baby eat right for life. Breast milk changes with each feeding, and breastfeeding is good for the mom too. Okay, so number one, you are your baby's first pharmacy. Breastfeeding moms have likened breast milk to liquid gold. We like to think it might even be magical. Here's something we bet you didn't know about breast milk before. When your baby nurses tiny amounts of his or her saliva into your nipple, which analyzes the germs she has been exposed to, then naturally your body adds the perfect mixture of immune boosters to the milk. Magic, right? That's why breastfed babies are generally healthier, with fewer infections like ear aches or pneumonia. Breast milk also builds up healthy bacteria in your baby's gut, helping prevent future illnesses. So each baby, your milk changes depending on what the baby needs, and that's all it's saying. Whatever your baby needs, that's what your milk will produce for it. Okay, breastfeeding can help baby eat right for life. Did you know that breast milk introduces your baby to a variety of new flavors while formula always tastes the same? Your breast milk tastes like whatever you've eaten. If your diet is healthy, your child is more likely to develop a taste for healthy foods as well. So make sure you take in lots of veggies and fruits. Another little known benefit of breastfeeding is that infants who feed from the breast are better at regulating how much they drink. They tend to stay in tune with their own hunger and fullness better than bottle-fed babies who may overeat because they are encouraged to finish the bottle. Forcing the baby to finish a bottle teaches him to eat with his eyes instead of eating until he feels full. So when your child nurses, but before that baby starts to cry, your milk starts to let down. So you two are in sync with each other. So you always know when that baby is ready to eat. The breast milk that your baby gets is not going to make your baby fat. It's going to make your baby healthy. You won't get an overweight baby from nursing it. That baby will get exactly the amount that it needs, and it will grow up into an adult who is not prone to be fat. Okay? How do I know? I nursed nine, and none of them have extra body fat. None of them. When two of my sons were getting ready to go away to swim with the Boy Scouts in the Florida Keys, they had to take a swim test, and their only problem they had was trying to float on their backs because they didn't have any body fat, and they kept sinking. So they had to go through a lot of machinations with bending and twisting their bodies to get it to stay on the water long enough for them to pass the test because they did not have any body fat, and they still don't have any body fat. Okay? So know for sure that if you do this, you will be giving your child a healthy start. Okay, breast milk changes with each feeding. Once again, breast milk is magical. It even adjusts to your baby's nutritional needs each day. As your baby matures over weeks and months, whatever the growing body needs, your body gives him or her. At the beginning of every feeding, your baby receives breast milk filled with lots of protein to build muscle and water to quench her thirst. As the feeding continues, the fat content increases to give baby the calories he or she needs to grow and help her feel full. Nighttime breast milk has more melatonin, a hormone that helps her body know it's time to sleep. Your body somehow knows how to adjust the nutrients, fats, vitamins, and minerals in your breast milk to meet the needs of a child at any age, from 2 days to 2 months to even 2 years. Okay, breastfeeding is good for mom too. What's in it for you? This is probably the last thing you ask yourself when your baby wakes up hungry at 2 a.m. But if you're being honest, it might also be the exact thought that gets you out of bed some nights instead of sending your partner in with a bottle. And that's okay. Just know that you are benefiting just as much as the baby. For one, nursing can help you recover from childbirth more quickly, and some women find it easier to shed their pregnancy weight while breastfeeding. Breastfeeding can also be good for your emotional health. It can reduce your stress level and risk of postpartum depression. Studies have also shown that nursing lowers your risk of breast and ovarian cancer and may help prevent type 2 diabetes, heart disease, and rheumatoid arthritis. So even if your baby never thanks you for all your hard work, you can still feel confident knowing you put both you and your baby's health first. Okay, also what it doesn't say is that your uterus is being shrunken by you nursing the baby. It also acts as a birth control while you're nursing. It's not 100%, but it does help deter you getting pregnant again right away. and the more you nurse your baby, the better your physical body will begin to bounce back to its pre-pregnancy state. So I just wanted to read all of that because mother's milk is important. They call it gold. They call it magical. It is how Allah God created the female to be that nurturer, first physically and then mentally and spiritually for your child. Now, that being said, some of us are so afraid, and I'll put it this way, so afraid to let go and let God that we get all so confused about what it is we're supposed to be doing with our babies. We want to rush away and go back to work. Some of you say, well, I have to work. Well, you know, some of us have made bad decisions, and we got to live with that. But others of us are making decisions based on pressure from other people. Again, your baby is going to be a baby one time. Once that baby is past a certain age, there's no reaching back and reeling those times back in where you and your child get a chance to bond and be one. Enjoy your baby. Nurse your baby. One of the hints to being able to nurse a baby successfully is to lay down. Do not sit up in a chair trying to nurse a newborn baby. Number one, the pull and you've got the pull of gravity and you've got the pull of the child that's nursing, and all of that is, if you're a brand new nursing mother, is going to go work against you. So lay down. There are ways to lay where you can feed this baby very successfully, and guess what? You will probably drift off to sleep, which is what you need anyway. So the God knows what you need. You are blessed nowadays that there are, in airports and hotels and places, there are nursing stations. There are nursing pods where you can go sit in with your baby and nurse your baby. When my children were growing up, I had to use the bathroom. I had to go sit in the bathroom. And there was no chair. There was no changing table. All of these are new phenomena. So at least the society is beginning to understand that this is something that's needed and it's being provided. So if you can, make the time. Make the time to nurse your baby. Don't rush to stop the baby from nursing. It's not necessarily easier to give your baby a bottle because you still got to sterilize it and do all those other kind of things, or you got to spend a lot of money buying disposable stuff. Then you're buying formula when you already have what your baby already needs. So it's being wasted. So you know, make it your business that when you have your baby, as you're pregnant, you start preparing yourself, in your mind at least, to nurse your baby as long as you can. Some babies give up. They don't want to go through the trouble of having to pull to get that milk, but it's better for them, okay? Like I said, I had 9. I nursed all of them, and they all had very few diseases. You know, they had like hernias and somebody, you know, that kind of stuff, but they were not really sick. I only had one child that got sick like that, but most of them, they're healthy, and they're healthy young adults. And like I said, they have zero body fat, most of them. So they're not obese in any way. And part of that had to do with having so many of them that they didn't get a chance to overeat because we didn't do that. But, yes, nurse your babies, okay? Nurse your babies. Don't let people shame you into not nursing them. That's, you know, we've got a lot of that going around. Oh, people have so many opinions about what you should do and what you shouldn't do and how you shouldn't. You know what? Talk to your elders who can give you good advice and make sound decisions together with your spouse and your children's, you know, you parents, the two of you, and do what's best for the baby. Don't worry about your figure. Your figure can come back. You know, some of us, I don't have my figure anymore. And then some of you don't care. I mean, you had one baby and you blew up like a balloon. No, what is going on? Take care of your health. Take care of your health. You know, you got one body. It's only, you only get one. You know, even though these mad scientists are trying to, you know, regrow limbs and do all kind of craziness, you know, we got one. Take care of it. Take care of yourself. Take care of your body so that your babies will have a long time to be with you. So that those are the two things I wanted to talk about in terms of milk, mother's milk, and Miss Toni Morrison. As we're watching the circus that American society and American politics have become, we need to be grounded somewhere. Else we're going to be like dust and just get blown away. If you are not connected to some type of institution, be it a mosque, a church, some other societal organization, don't be out here by yourself. People who are out here by themselves are getting ripped off and disappearing. Now, listen, family, I don't understand it. Y'all got to help me with this one. How you lose sight of a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, they're coming up missing. Where the hell were you and what the hell were you doing that your 3-year-old is missing? Who was not watching this child? I don't understand it. You know, if it was one or two, now it's every time you turn around, somebody's child is missing and they're getting younger and younger. What are you doing that you're not paying attention to your child? Put the damn cell phones away when you're walking down the street. Stop scrolling. Put the damn thing in your pocket. Put it in your pocketbook. Pay attention to your children. I see you walking down the street. The child is 5-6 steps behind you. You have no idea where this child is. Then you run in, oh, my God, my child is missing. Put the phone away. Pay attention to your children. Your children are tapping you, talking to you, and you looking at the phone. Or you give them the phone because you want them to shut up. People, this phone is what it's called. It's a cell. You are in the jail cell of your phones. Put them away and start paying attention to your children. stop giving your little babies a phone to scroll through, and you have no idea what they're looking at. We got to pay attention to our children. Where are they? Talk to them, not at them. And please stop letting your children just sit in the shopping cart or wherever they're with you in store screaming their brains out. You're not saying anything. You're just walking past them like you don't hear them. You hear that child screaming and yelling? Tell it to be quiet. You got a child disturbing the entire store, and you just walking around oblivious like that's not your child. Come on, people. We've got to become more irresponsible for our children and how they behave. There's no reason that your child should be falling out in the middle of the store, and you say nothing. See, that used to be a thing little white kids did. Now you've allowed your children to get just to act the same way. Stop it, people. Stop it. Teach your children how to control themselves. And all it takes is for you to speak to them in a firm voice and make them make eye contact with you so they know that you mean what you say. Talk to your children. Stop it. What are you doing? Why are you making all that noise? No, you may not have that because I said you may not have it. And that's that. Be the parent and stop trying to be your children's friends. Those are not your friends. Those are those who you have been charged to rear up, to bring up from a state of little wild things to be civilized human beings. That's your job, women and men. Okay? So let's stop acting like we don't know what we're doing. Okay? So you may say, well, how can you talk? Look, I've had to walk down the street with five children. And I had connection with each one of them, two of them on one on each side holding onto my pocket, the other one's holding onto the other one's hands, and I had one in my arms. No such thing as I don't know where my children are. Pay attention. They are precious. You cannot get them back. There are people that are out here stealing our children's organs. They're organ harvesting your children. They are looking at the way they're watching your behavior so they know when to strike. Pay attention, people. Pay attention. Stop being so busy worrying about what the heck is on this show on television and that show on television and the movies and all of that. You have a real live life that you need to be living. And real live children that you need to be protecting. And real live family that you need to be trying to keep together. Let's stop falling into the trap that, oh, ain't no good men out here, ain't no good women out here. Blah. Stop it. That's what your enemy has been aiming to do from the time they brought us here. Forcibly push our families away from each other. You need to read, people. You need to read. So you begin to understand, whoa, we playing out the same thing that our people fought so hard against. Read In the Wake of the Wind by J. California Cooper. It'll give you a good insight to what and how we overcame. Read Song of Solomon. Read Beloved. Better yet, on Audible, Toni Morrison is reading Beloved to you. Listen to it and read it. Read along with her. You get to see some things that you took for granted. There is an article out today. There's a NOI research team, so you can look them up, noiresearch.org. And it's dealing with this whole scenario that's coming out now about gun control. So the Second Amendment, they keep yelling about the Second Amendment. Are you trying to take our guns away? The guns that they're talking about were put, that whole Second Amendment was put into place to keep us slaves in check. Do you understand me? The whole Second Amendment was because white men who were slave owners wanted to be able to keep us from uprising, so they needed militias and guns. Militias and the right to own guns. Black people who were free that wanted to join militias were allowed to, but they could only play the drums and bugles. They were not allowed to have any guns. So this whole movement about them worrying about taking, having their guns taken away is because they, if the guns are taken away, they are afraid that you're going to rise up, and they're afraid of you still. So it's all about you. Okay, so don't get it twisted. Don't go joining these people. Oh, yeah, we need our gun. No, you're not going to get no gun. Okay? Don't get it twisted. It's not about you. It's about them controlling you. Okay? So please pay attention to what's going on around you. Go deeper than what you see on the surface. Get to know who lives next door to you, who lives above you, who lives beside you, so that in the event that you need each other for whatever, that you'll know who that person is that you can go to. Don't be fooled. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said when they first asked him about integration, he said it was a trick, and it has proven to be that. Okay? Pay attention. Pay attention. Don't let people make you think what's happening is not. Don't fall for the okie doke. You know, you got people running around talking about they woke, and the question is, are they really? Are they really awake? Okay? So, you've been listening to Mother's Milk. My name is Samia Safi Muhammad. And, you know, in the future, in the upcoming weeks, I'm praying that people will start to call in and ask questions. You can go to my Facebook page, and Black Hole Radio, and just send your questions, and I'll try and get them answered to the best of my ability. But we have to make our children's future our priority. You have to start preparing for the disasters that are surely coming. Okay, you've seen these glaciers melt in the north. Where do you think that water's going? Okay, you're hearing of the tornadoes and the thunderstorms and all that. Make sure you have flashlights. Make sure you have batteries. Make sure you have candles. Make sure you have water in your homes. Put it up high, so if in the case of a flood, it won't just go floating away somewhere. Make sure you have water. You cannot live without water. You can live more days without food than you can without water. Make sure you have water. Make sure you have, make sure you have water stored up to wash with. Okay. In event that you find that there's, you hear that there's a storm coming or something, fill up your bathtub, fill up your washing machine if you have one. Make sure you have containers of water, drinkable water as well as washing water. You know, make sure you know where try and keep your car at least half full of gas. Don't ever get to the point where your car is on empty. Make sure when you get to halfway, fill it back up, because you need the car to be able to move. If gas stations will not be open. Make sure you have some gasoline stored up in containers somewhere. Make sure you have ways to heat up some food. You may not be able to cook something, but if you've got something that's in cans or jars, you can eat it lukewarm. But make sure you have some in your car. We in Atlanta maybe about 4 years ago now, there was a snowstorm. People got stuck on the highways for 2 days. And they realized there was nothing in their car. They had no way to go to the bathroom. They had no food. They had no water. There was nothing. So we went, and I put in my car this little sleeping bags, There's water. There's some crackers. There's shovels. There's all kind of things that in the event that we get stranded somewhere, we can survive a couple of days. This is the time we're living in. Don't be fooled. Don't get lulled to sleep by the, you know, whatever Disney is doing and whatever. All that stuff is irrelevant to where we need to be focusing right now. Okay? There's a movie that you all need to go see. Find it, rent it if you can. If you can find it on YouTube or wherever. It's called V for Vendetta. Look at it and see what you see. Okay? Because it's not far from what's going on right now. Okay? Don't get don't get all hung up and, oh, who's going to be in the present, who's not. All of that stuff, whether it's him or somebody else, it's all put in place what they intend to do. Okay? We have to be united to help ourselves. All right? It's all about what we have to do for ourselves. Okay? So, as we move on, in the days coming ahead, you know, people are, we need your vote, we need this, we need that. No, what we have, history best rewards our research, and we know we don't get anything. We don't get anything. We had a black president for 8 years, and they stopped him from doing everything they possibly could. The same people that are in charge now were in charge then. And they stopped all legislation that he tried to get through that would really impact and balance the scales of justice in this country. They don't want it. These people's mindset is, oh, we're not going down without a fight. And you can't blame them because they've been in charge for so long. So they think they're supposed to stay in charge. And they, because they believe the lies that their history books tell, they really think they built this country. They really do. And how dare you remind them that they did not. That's their attitude. Okay? So how do they get us imbalanced? Oh, well, let's tear their homes up. Let's have the men and the women not trust each other. Let's have them blame each other for anything that goes wrong. Let's put systems in place where the women can go and they can get all the degrees and they can get all the jobs and the men get trampled under their feet. And the men get blamed for everything, whether they did it or not. And they set the system up to fail, for them to fail, and for you to succeed. And then we go merrily along thinking that we're making progress. And we're really not. We're really not. We're celebrating single moms. What? Why? You didn't have this child by yourself. Why is this a badge of honor? I'm a single mom. Okay, where's the child's father? When's the last time child even knew anything? Or did you bother to tell the man, the child, that they have a father, or that tell the man that he has a child? And I know some of you don't want to hear that, but you need to hear it. We need to stop bragging. Like that's a badge of honor. I'm a single mom, and a single mom of five did this, and a single mom of six did that. What? We need to check ourselves. What are we doing? What are we doing, sisters? Are we really helping our children and our community? Think about it. Please think about it. You know, you're full of stress whether you admit it or not. Well, I overcame. Oh, look what I. No, it should be a we there, because it gives balance to the children. It allows them to grow up and not make the same mistakes that we did. Think about it, because somebody is laughing all the way to the bank. They've got this raging debate about abortion. Oh, I have the right. But, yeah, the Honorable Minister Farquhar, you have the right to decide before you lay down to have that baby, that before you lay down to get pregnant. That's when you decide, not after. We've killed so many of our children since abortion became legal. And white people don't want abortions because they are being, their birth rate, is their death rate and their birth rate are equal, about to be less born than die. We're heading in the same direction. We're killing our babies. We're killing our babies. We're not growing. Our growth rate is stagnant now. So what are we doing and why are we doing it? You know, the Quran says, do not kill your children for fear of want. Think about it. I had a woman to come. I was very young. I was 19. I wasn't even 20 yet, and I was going to work early one morning, and this lady was at a bus stop, and I didn't know her, but we were only two at the bus stop. And she said to me, you know, she said, they come and they bother me every night. I don't know what she's talking about. I don't know the lady. She said, I had three abortions, and every night I see those babies looking at me. And I just looked at her, and I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Well, some of you are having those kind of problems because you're killing babies. Well, I don't want to. That's a decision you need to make before you get pregnant. Let's think about what we're doing. Because, see, the society is wanting you to continue that kind of behavior because they want us to get wiped out. They don't want any more black people. You see, they're trying to throw everybody out at the border. They don't want anybody else to come in. I mean, this fool's going to try and rewrite the poem that's on the Statue of Liberty. Give me your tired, your poor, your hungry masses yearning to live, breathe free, or live free, however it goes. They're talking about, oh, no, if you can't stand on your own two feet, don't come. Well, what about all of them? See, again, history. History best rewards our research, because when you research their history, they were poor, too, when they came here. But they were allowed to come in. So one of the biggest race riots that took place, they call it a race riot, but it was the biggest, one of the biggest raids on the black community was because white men that were getting off those boats had to go fight in place of rich white boys who didn't want to fight in the Civil War. And so they went and attacked the black community, burnt down the black orphanage. We need to know what we're coming up out of so we know which way to go, because we're not even cognizant of where we are going right now. We're just stumbling around in the dark, trying to figure it out. And we don't have to, because there are enough people out here who can tell you which way to go, who know the way, and we don't want to listen. Okay? Let us not fall victim to what others who did not listen fell victim to in this world. Let us see the tricks before they come. You have those who are warners to us. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is one of them. Go. He's got any subject you want to hear about, he's already talked about it. Go listen. Listen to what he's trying to tell us. Listen to what he's trying to warn us against. Stop. Let us stop walking around blind for our children's sake, so we can give them the kind of nourishment that they get, that they once got from our mother's milk. Our children's minds and bodies and souls need to be nourished, which means they need you to be present and awake and listening and compassionate toward them. Not be their friends. That's a big mistake a lot of us are making. Oh, that's my girl. That's not your girlfriend. That's your child. And you are duty-bound to raise that child from level to level to level till it reaches perfection. And you can't do that being their girlfriend, because you are the one that has to say, ah, no, that's not what you should be doing. No, that's not the way you should talk. No, that's not the way you should sit. No, this is what you are going to eat because it's healthier than what you want. No, you're not walking out the house because you didn't brush your teeth, wash your face, or comb your hair. Come back here, get yourself together. How do I know? Because this is what I see as a teacher. We have to pay attention to our children. Look at what they're learning in school. Talk to them about, what is it your teacher said? What? Wait a minute. Let's see if this is altogether true. So you need to have books in your home. You can't have a home without books. We, your children, you can go over to the bookshelf and pull something off and let your children, no, read this. Let's read this together. Does this say the same thing that this says? Okay, so which one do you think is true? That's your job. Stop letting other people take your children's minds. Turn off the videos and the shows that you think your children are not listening to because they're in the other room. But they could tell you everything that was on Empire and all these other shows because they heard it from the other room. Don't play music in front of your children that they're not old enough to understand. Why you got to listen to that stuff? Be parents. Everybody's running away from being parents. Oh, it's so hard. But you had an opportunity not to have children. But you have them now. They're yours. And guess what? They will always be yours. Because when you go into any cemetery and you walk by, there's always a tombstone that so-and-so, mother of. So they're always yours once you give birth to them. Enjoy it. It is the most honorable of careers. Yeah, I said that right, careers. Because mothers are not honored at all. You know, my daughter, one of my daughter's teacher wanted people to come and speak for career day, and she was in high school at the time. And I said, tell them I want to come speak. And she told him, my mother wants to come speak for career day. So he says, what does your mother do? She said, she's my mother. Yeah, I got that, but what does she do? She said, that's what she does. And he didn't get it. I knew he wouldn't get it. I just wanted to mess with the man. Okay? I said, no, tell him. See what he says. Okay? But you, mother, get a chance to help be a co-creator with the God and make anything that you ever dreamed about being. That you didn't get to do. You don't have to push them into that, but your thinking and your shaping of that child when they're in your womb. You get to make doctors and lawyers and teachers and mothers and painters and artists and dancers and poets, and you get to do that. Don't let anybody tell you being a mother is less than. It is the greatest thing that you can possibly do. So that's our edition of Mother's Milk for tonight. Again, my name is Samia Safia Muhammad. In the future, God willing, we'll be having some guests that you can call in and talk to. And you can call and talk to me. Be blessed. Have a good evening, a good week. And I wish you assalamu alaikum, which just means peace be unto you. And continue to listen to the guidance of the Honorable Ms. Louis Farrakhan, and don't let anybody tell you he's your enemy. He's not. You know, they're going to have a lot, whoever's a black candidate, they're going to have to meet the Farrakhan litmus test. They're going to have to deny him in order to try and attain the throne. But, you know, don't let that scare you. Okay, you, like I said, you've been listening to Mother's Milk. My name is Samia Safia Muhammad. Have a good week, and God willing, we'll talk next week. Assalamu alaikum.